B-Pod Studios.
No one says it like they do.
What do you mean?
Well, what do you mean?
Felger and Mads.
I'm just making it up. Totally making it up.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
I mean, the Dan Snyder stuff is, it's unbelievable. There's reams of stuff written about it, Murray. Reams. Just a little, quick little recap of his 20 years of ownership. He was, and they're all just sort of cheap, petty things that have driven people away. He was the first owner to charge for training camp. Okay, training camps are generally free around the league. He decided to start charging people $10 to enter the facility and $10 to park to watch training camp. He was the first guy to do that. After the September 11th attacks in 2001, the Redskins began charging a $4 security charge for tickets while selling at the same time commemorative 9/11 hats for $24. Mm-hmm. So he'd do stuff like this. At one point during the economic downturn, he sued his own season ticket holders for trying to back out of contracts, even though he claimed he had a 200,000 or 20,000 person wait list for season tickets. He turned around and sued those who were trying to back out of their contracts, including a 73-year-old grandmother who had been a ticket holder since the 60s. And she made a big deal of it, and that drew a lot of headlines down there. He, when he started getting grief from his own fans, and they would bring signs to the stadium ragging on him or his GM, he banned signs from the home stadium, so he couldn't bring signs anymore into FedEx Field. Over his tenure, the Redskins have been caught selling bags of airline peanuts that they repurposed stadium peanuts.
I mean, that's the lowest of the low.
There was an airline that went out of business and had all these extra peanuts. He took them, repackaged them, and sold them in the stadium.
That's so low.
Isn't it just the lowest of the low?
He also got caught selling expired beer from the World Cup. I guess they hosted World Cup games. They had these commemorative World Cup beers that they just didn't sell during the World Cup. So he sold them during Redskins game until they ran out. They were months expired.
You got to get rid of the inventory.
He's one of these guys who's, you know, super, super. And it, like a lot of these bad owners sort of have the same traits. Rabbit ears. You know, they are incompetent, you know, with ill intent, bad judgment, and you're not allowed to say anything bad about him. So he had a lawsuit against a local paper for a writer who was on him. He bought a local sports radio station to make sure that their commentary...
Oh, it's just state radio down there.
...was what he wanted it to be, so it's state radio. Oh, this is also the team and the guy that basically whored out the cheerleaders for these client trips where they were asked to...
Remember this story?
Remember this? Go read this. Where they were asked to, whatever, perform, dance, entertain... The luxury box clients or the big sponsor clients. So he basically pimped out his cheerleader, the same guy.
I think one of them actually said that. He pimped us out. One of the cheerleaders, an actual quote where one of them said that.
So he, again, he sued the season ticket holders for backing out of contracts, claiming, even though he said we have a big wait list. So at one point, he hired someone to come in and take over the ticket operation. And the person in the ticket operation cut out the ticket wait list because it was basically non-existent. And the guy said something, or the gal, I can't remember if it was a guy or a girl, said something to the effect of, oh, here it is. Here it is. So they, it's Brian LaFemia, okay? Brian LaFemia was the guy's name. He hired Brian LaFemia as the team's president of business operations and chief operating officer. He came with years of experience, all right? And he offered a small glimmer of hope. One of LaFemia's first moves was to eliminate the season ticket wait list that the team had boasted about for decades, asserting the team claimed it had one of these phony sellout streaks, asserting that it sold out home games dating back a half century. So when LaFemia was asked why he eliminated the season ticket wait list, he said, quote, it's a pretty simple reason. I'm a pretty simple person. If you have something to sell, I think the best way to sell it is to tell them it's for sale. So basically, they weren't selling seats because they had this phony season. So he says, no, the tickets are available. We have no wait list. Snyder fired him. What else?
I mean, think of that, right? Like you have this illusion that we have this wait list. And in theory, to what? Create demand so no one was buying tickets. The guy comes in, tries to fix the problem, and the owner fires him.
I just want to read it because it's such a great summary of this guy from this Adam Kilgore who wrote about him right prior to this season.
Adam used to write for the Globe.
Yeah, he worked for the Globe, yeah.
He's an incompetent, radioactive tyrant, alienated from his peers and from the league office, incapable of hearing or integrating dissent. Here's the great deadly line through this column. More than one person familiar with Dan Snyder described or agreed with the description of Snyder as someone who behaves the way a little kid imagines a rich person acts. In any of these things you hear about him, you read these stories over the last 20 years, it's exactly that. Like, he's just a tyrant to be a tyrant because he knows he can get away with it.
And then there's the team name, which, again, is like, I don't really care to go there and open it up to that.
It has long been a source of...
But right. It's the way he handles it. And I'm no, like, I say Redskins, you know, like, I'm not one of these people who's not going to say the team name or... but it is... It's probably racist. I mean, it is. I think it is. I think there's a case to be made to keeping it, but not the way he presents it. I'm never changing it. It's always going to be that way. Always put it in all cap. And he's just defiant and ugly about the thing. And so the way he's handled it and that whole controversy.
Yeah, there's not much of an understanding tone there.
No, it's been like an albatross. It becomes like an albatross around their neck, like this huge distraction and this huge thing. Because he doesn't know how to handle it, right? There's a case for keeping it. There's a case for certainly getting rid of it. But he can't. He has no
tact.
He has no tact, but it's even beyond that. He has no humanity. You know, he's just not a good person. So he can't position himself properly within that conversation to play on both sides or to state his case properly because he's an a-hole. And so that comes across in the way he defends his team, and that becomes a huge distraction. Like, that's a huge thing about that team, the team name. What are you going to do about the team name? Never mind the fact that they suck every year. Since he bought the team, what they have one of the worst records in the league since he bought the team. 139 and 180 since he bought the team. He's owned it for 20 years. He has two playoff wins. This is one of these teams where we can have this, you know.
8 head coaches, 20 starting quarterbacks.
Want the list?
I mean, really, it is. It's unbelievable when you go through the list of people he's shuttled through there.
Want the list? Here's coaches under Snyder. Norv Turner, Terry Rubisky, Marty Schottenheimer, Steve Spurrier, Joe Gibbs, Jim Zorn, Mike Shanahan, Jay Gruden. And what's amazing is that Gruden's been here since 2014. Before that, it was every couple of years. Turner lasted a year. Rubisky was interim. Marty Schottenheimer lasted a year. Spurrier lasted 2. Spurrier came in and made it 4. Zorn was gone after 2. Revolving door at coach. He's also one of these guys that sticks his nose in there, makes his coaches and GMs select certain players. He made them select, was it Patrick Ramsey, the quarterback?
Sounds
he
right.
He's the one that's, you know, forced the RG3 trade, which he could play. Do you want their list of quarterbacks since he took over?
By all means.
Here's the Washington Redskins list of quarterbacks. Now, listen, this list... There are some AFC East teams that would look at this list and go, God, I wish I were the Redskins. The AFC East lists are so bad, but this is just a little snippet of what's happened at quarterback in Washington since Dan Snyder bought the team. Brad Johnson, Jeff George, Tony Banks, Shane Matthews, Patrick Ramsey, Danny Werfel.
Danny Werfel.
Tim Hasselbeck.
Danny Awful.
Mark Brunell, Jason Campbell, Todd Collins, Donovan McNabb, Rex Grossman, John Beck, Robert Griffin, Kirk Cousins, Colt McCoy, Alex Smith. I wrote down John Johnson. Is that right?
Is
it Josh Johnson?
Yeah, yeah, that's the guy who used to be with Tampa Bay.
Josh Johnson. Mark Sanchez.
That's right.
Case Keenum. And this is like an AFC list because it's starting to get recycled. Colt McCoy is about to get his another crack. And of course, it's the week they're facing you.
It is true, though, right?
Who's the worst owner in pro sports?
Daniel Snyder's up there.
Probably James Dolan. It's James Dolan or Dan Snyder. It's a coin flip.
See, I think Dolan and Snyder are 1-2.
I think there are 4. Like, we discussed this quickly earlier today, and we're going to get to
it in more quickly,
detail.
Snyder and Dolan have the same traits, which are incompetent,
yeah,
bad decision-making, and hyper-obsessed about what's being said of them to the point where they sue reporters.
Correct.
A-holes. And so it's just like little megalomaniacal. Thank you. Tyrants. Little petty tyrants. I'm sorry. So Dolan, Snyder, who's 3-4?
Okay, so I think there are 4 that have to be on the list. Okay? One is the guy in Cincinnati.
Mike Brown.
The Brown family.
Oh, my God. That franchise is right there with any franchise in terms of wretched, bad ownership.
Google how cheap he is. He, like, shops at thrift stores and stuff.
Routinely the smallest staff in the league.
And the other one that I would put on the list is the New York Mets, the Wilpons. Like, that is that's a train wreck, too. Like, those four to me, and I would have put Donald Sterling of the Clippers on years ago. He doesn't own the team anymore. So, like, those were sort of signature franchises for me in the Hall of Suck.
And look how it turned around with new ownership.
Correct.
So, like, the role of ownership, and we
huge.
Just talk about it here, you know, with the next generation taking over. You know, you just...
Look what the buses have done to the Lakers.
Okay, right. Ownership. And that stayed in the family. So the kid can't do it. I think John's qualified. I think Jonathan Kraft is a smart guy, you know, but...
It's tricky, though.
You just don't until you get into it. And
it's tricky.
I think John can be aggressive, and certainly I would never put him on par with Dan Snyder with his combativeness, but, you know, you just... Until you're in it, what are you looking at there? And Charlie Jacob, you know, there's so some kids taking over here.
The more kids, I feel like, the more problems. That's why the six kids getting ultimately to taking over the Bruins going forward, like, what's going to happen there, you know?
So it's a little scary because you think it's never going to end, but a bad owner, it can end. And the Washington is about as good of an example as you will find.
Well, it's really hard to find a good team with a bad owner. It's, you know.
A consistently good team.
Yeah, I mean, you're going to find the, you know, you'll find the acorn every now and then. But year in and year out, oh, you almost never have a bad ownership.
Just a little thing on this. What has happened to them? That is freaking sad, what has happened to them. Your thoughts on everything. Goskowski, whatever you want, right after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Something?
I don't know. Google it, Maz.
Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app.
That's idiotic.
Now back to Felger and Maz on Boston's home for sports.
Set! Yellow 41! Yellow 41! Hunt!
There's the snap. Hand to Rick. Good hold. He's got the first down to the 40. He's gone! The 35, the 30, the 20. He's gone! He's gone! Touchdown, Washington Redskins!
43-yard touchdown run from scrimmage is the longest in Super Bowl history.
The lyrics are a little questionable. You hear that second line, Braves on the warpath? Like the whole thing.
I always kind of like this song.
Oh, it's a great song. It's great.
They were a fun team to watch, man. They were. They
Remember
were a lot of fun.
That Riggins run in the Super Bowl against
Absolutely.
Miami.
Absolutely, yeah. They tugged on his shirt there right as he was going through the line.
An iconic moment, an iconic franchise. The Big Diesel, is that what they called him? Diesel? Did they call him Diesel or something like that?
So I was real little when those were happening.
I know that Shaq, too, but I thought they called Riggins Diesel. Go ahead.
But that 92 team with Mark Rippon was awesome.
That was a team. You know what about great coaching accomplishments? Joe Gibbs won three Super Bowls with three different quarterbacks.
Yeah, that's right.
None of them all that good.
Theismann, Williams, and Rippon.
Yes, that's right. Did Williams ultimately make the Hall of Fame? I'm not sure.
I don't think so.
No.
They scored 35 points in one quarter with Doug Williams in the Super Bowl.
So that's some coaching there. You know, to win three Super Bowls, go to four with three different quarterbacks. And now they're nothing. They're nothing. All because of that dink as an owner.
I mean, I had forgotten about the fun bunch until you mentioned. Those guys were good. Alvin Garrett, not to like good on memory.
They were
Gary Clark.
Huge team.
Oh, they were great. They were fun to watch. They were good all the way around. And again, they had talent on defense. They were like, you know, they were a national team. They were a phenomenon for crying out loud. And now they're like, they might as well be the Tampa Bay Buccaneers or the Jackson. You know what I mean?
Like, the only news they make is them denying and being rude to Native American groups about the team name and putting it in their face. And that's like that's what they're known for now.
Oh, it's pathetic what they've become. It really is, and it is. It's totally on Snyder. It's totally on the owner.
Put it to you this way. I've never been there. I do a road game every year for like the last 15 or so years. This came up. I was like, no, we're not doing it because I'm not giving that guy money. Like, he's the worst. The absolute worst.
Okay, so there's that Redskins topic. We'll continue with your calls on everything. Goskowski, we did a Celtics Minute. I see some C's calls on the board. We'll get to all of them. Here's Joe in Rhode Island, though, on the kicker. Go ahead, Joe.
Yeah, hey, love you guys' show. Mass, I'd bring the girl in, the kick, and Felger. Two names for you, Steve Grogan and John Smith. John Smith had a soccer camp at Wheaton College in Norton.
Joe, I'm going to have to let you go. I'm sorry. I don't want to hear about Joe Smith or Grogan, as much as I like those guys. Believe me.
I don't know what the connection is to today's topics.
And Carly Lloyd's not on the list. Sheffer said it's down to two. Thank God Carly Lloyd's not on the list. And open up this can of worms. You know, it just becomes a political conversation. No, it's this Kyle Forbath. And the other name?
Kai, not Kyle.
Kai Forbath.
Mike Nugent.
And Mike Crinkle Fry or whatever, that dude. Is not on the list. It's Mike Nugent.
Yes, Mike Nugent.
Who's another guy, and this disappoints me a little bit. Another old guy who's been around. Bengals, Jets, who's been around for a while. And so the Kai Forbath and Mike Nugent are sort of journeymen. I want Bill to have the next Bailey. What's his first name?
Jake.
Jake Bailey. I want him to, our punter. I want him to have the next Jake Bailey on Rolodex. Hot shot college kid that they scouted and just didn't get drafted and didn't land a spot, and he's got someone none of us have heard of. That's what I want.
Yeah, but this is just, I mean, it's a stopgap, and I can understand why he'd want someone with real experience that had played in games. So it's just a stopgap for the year, and either Gostkowski's back next year or you draft a new guy, and then you have your new guy going forward like Bailey.
Okay, so
I think I'd rather have Nugent than Forbath.
Me too. But those guys make me nervous. Mr. No Name from No Name State doesn't make me nervous for some reason.
Yeah, listen. I mean,
I've just seen Nugent miss too many big kicks.
I'm not necessarily disagreeing there. I'll take the crinkle cut guy that Murray was talking about earlier. What's his name again? Elliot Fry.
Elliot Fry. Yes.
So he's 24 years old. I do wonder though. Maybe Bill's got some sort of magic touch with kickers. Like as I think about it out loud, he brought Shane Graham in here, and Graham was a reasonably steady kicker, but that thing was. We didn't talk about Graham at all, which is a credit
to
Bill.
Right.
It was seamless.
So I'd been misrepresenting something before. I told you that they drafted Robbie Gould. They didn't. They brought him in.
Undrafted free agent.
Undrafted guy in 05. They did draft a guy in 01. So this is where I got it confused.
Sisson?
Nope. Do you remember Owen Pachman?
No.
It's a 7th round pick out of Brigham Young. He didn't make it out of camp, but they, you know, even in 2001, they were busting Adams' balls. They busted Adams' balls at every turn. And this Steven Gostkowski got every second chance in the book.
Oh, no. He showed up for training camp. They open up the gates. They open up the locker room. They just let him walk right in. No problem.
Paul in Braintree with our conversation about terrible owners. Go ahead, Paul. Paul!
Hey, sorry. How you doing?
Good. What do you got?
Yeah, listen, I was up at the Red Sox game on Saturday.
Paul, I'm going to have to let you go. I'm sorry. Cam and Taunton with the Celtics talk. Go ahead, Cam.
First of all, Mike, I'm just giving you guys a hard time. I don't mean it. That's all I'm doing with this Bruins stuff. I'm sorry if you took it the wrong way.
You didn't do it the wrong way.
Okay. On the Celtics, I'm kind of worried that, you know, on the court, it won't be as dysfunctional off the court because Kemba's not the raging a-hole Kyrie is. But you still have young guys who haven't made their money. In 08, with the exception of Rondo and Big Baby, everybody who got big minutes on that team were veteran guys who had made their money. There's still going to be selfish me guys on the floor. And besides Smart, who's going to play defense?
So, Cam, I think it's right to raise that other thing. Just because a couple of guys on Media Day said one game at a time and we haven't won anything yet, which is finally the right thing to say, they're not out of the woods in terms of selfishness or looking out for themselves or things like that.
No, but look, at least it's a start. At least they're focused on actually competing. I think. So I have the same concerns, though, particularly at that forward position. Hayward, Brown, Tatum, there's only one ball. There's only one ball.
And they all have to make their money. Cam's so right to bring that up.
Yes.
Hayward's made it, obviously, but those other two?
And the defense could be an issue, too. I'm relying on the tickler, the French tickler, Vincent Poirier, or whatever his name is. I'm hoping he's got some kind of factor around the basket.
Howard in Amesbury with an NFL thought. Hi, Howard.
Hey, guys. How you doing? You know, I think the Redskins, it's too bad because I remember them winning with Williams in the 80s when I was living in San Francisco and they beat Miami. And it's too bad, but I wish the league could step in and do something about it because it's just a shame the way the franchise has been. And Me so I was too. Looking at the Redskins quarterbacks, and I'm an Ohio State fan. I wonder, whatever happened to Dwayne Haskins? And Maz, just on a note, a couple of weeks ago, you referenced the Munsters, which is one of my favorite shows, and Herman Munster. He could either kick for the Patriots, or he could play quarterback for the Redskins.
Okay, I'm going to... No jokes. The quarterback thing, you know, the word there in D.C. is that the owner was the one who pushed him on Haskins. So the coach didn't want him. The football people didn't want him. Why do you think Jay Gruden is so freaking reluctant to go to the number one draft pick at quarterback?
Well, look, in basic,
because he didn't want him. The owner made the pick. This is why we're looking at Colt McCoy again this week, because the coach wants nothing to do with Haskins.
And based on the, and again, it's a very, very small sample, but that thing last week was horrible.
The Haskins?
Yeah, he's the lowest rated passer in the NFL.
So the coach, never mind not wanting him, knows he's not ready.
Or knows he can't play, period.
Well, a little early for that, you know, something so definitive.
And
but
look, yeah.
Can't play right now.
No, and that's not the first time the owner is meddled in there, and there's nothing worse. To me, that is like the nightmare scenario for any franchise in any sport, is an owner that meddles that has no knowledge whatsoever of what's going on. None. Like, you know, a little bit of knowledge is a dangerous thing. And all of a sudden, Daniel Snyder, you know, is jumping on an NFL quarterback discussion and decide what the franchise is going to do. That should scare the hell out of you.
So we talk about these national franchises, these huge, powerful brands that just go poof. Are there any teams out there that are immune to it, meaning they'll always be there no matter what? I want to see if there are. We'll talk about after Murray's update. Again, the latest here on Stephen Gostkowski and his replacement in the update.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
For sports. Failure has 98.5 The Sports Hub.
It's a little bit of a Redskins combo here, just because I find their fall fascinating. And they're not alone. Like, there were teams when, again, we were kids, I'm 50, that were just national brands and forces. And there were a few in football that have just totally died. And the Redskins, done. The Raiders, done. Just another team. The Niners, done. Just another team. I think all those, you can say it started with ownership. Transferring to a kid or the wrong guy taking over or whatever. And it just, what you thought was just an unstoppable force that would always be there, just goes to zero because of ownership. And, you know, we gave you, like, the Baltimore Orioles is one in baseball. Are there teams that you think are immune from it? And let me just give you one that, you know, you would point to, and that's the Dallas Cowboys.
Mm-hmm.
Through all of the buffoonery of Jerry Jones and the bad decision-making of Jerry Jones, haven't they always been, if not America's team, an absolute draw and national franchise and brand? Has the Cowboys brand ever, I mean, I'm not talking about,
in my lifetime.
You know, like, I'm not, of course they've had bad years,
right.
And, but
you'll see their merch somewhere else in the country, or they have fan bases spread out. People will always, you know, there is always going to be interest in the Dallas Cowboys.
Big picture, they've always been a national brand. They've never really lost it through all their ups and downs, and they haven't won anything in 20 years, and it's still, for example,
there was one little dip, but go ahead.
Okay.
Yeah, but an icy dip. The team wasn't good for about, what, 5 or 6 years post-Jimmy Johnson that I thought they were starting to fade, and then it turned.
They got Parcells. I mean, they've always been a huge draw. The Cowboys-Saints Sunday night game was the most watched Sunday night football game ever.
Wow.
And in fact, it was the 26th time the Cowboys on Sunday night football topped 20 million viewers. Okay? So that's what they consider a blockbuster Sunday night. 20 million viewers. The Cowboys have done it 26 times. By far the most in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
Guess who's tied for second with 17?
Pats?
Patriots?
Patriots and the Packers.
Oh, I was going to say Green Bay. They're on my list.
Okay,
here.
So Sunday night football games averaging 20 million viewers. The Cowboys did it again last Sunday. They've done it 26 times, by far the most. Tied for second are Green Bay and New England at 17. Denver is third with 13 times. The Giants and Eagles, Steelers round out those with more than 10 nights with 20 million viewers. The Cowboys have always been that team.
Yeah, no question.
So somehow they survive it. Maybe it's their location. Maybe it's for all of Jerry Jones's buffoonery, he's always kept the sex appeal of the Dallas Cowboys, hasn't he?
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, no, absolutely he has.
And I said mistakenly before he bought it from Tex Schramm. Tex Schramm was the GM and president and like sort of the face of it. He bought it from someone named Harvey Bright in 1989. And through all their ups and downs, it's remained a national fan. And so can we say the Cowboys are sort of idiot-proof? They're always going to be the Cowboys?
So can I just say this as a disclaimer? I don't think anybody is quote-unquote idiot-proof. I think if you get a bad enough owner, you can take down anything.
Can you? But can you take down the New York Yankees?
No.
Yeah.
I don't
think so.
Sure you can. If you're bad enough, sure you can.
I don't think so.
There's some brands, and that just doesn't even matter what you're putting out on the field. It's because their gear looks cool. The Yankees are impervious to it. Them, the Cowboys.
Who else? Who else is impervious to it?
So, again, I'll tell you which franchises I would bet on.
Who?
The Yankees and the Cowboys are top two on the list. I mean, those are the ones. I put the Dodgers up there pretty close. The Packers are one I put up there pretty close.
So I put the Packers there because you also have to think about location in that, what else do we have in Green Bay? They're always going to be, you know, they had a pretty good dip in the 70s where they shared games in Milwaukee and there was rumblings about they should move to Milwaukee because Green Bay is not big enough. And then they got Favre and pulled themselves out. That's the lowest they ever were. But through it all, I don't think they ever had room on the season ticket wait list.
Like no.
They sold out every game forever.
And they're to me, in some ways, like you said, they're the only show in town, which is kind of the same group. And I asked you this during the break. I put the Montreal Canadiens there on some level.
The Canadiens will always be the Canadiens, no matter how poorly managed they are.
I mean, they're the only show in town, and I think that, you know, it speaks to the level of intensity there. And so people will always be dialed into it.
Steelers, Cubs.
Okay, so Steelers.
Steelers are close. They're sort of, they're right on the cusp for me there.
Cubs are yes, because they were a huge national brand and a huge draw, despite the fact that they sucked for years and centuries. So if they could survive a century of sucking and losing, they could survive a downturn of 20 years. They survived 100 years. So I think the Cubs are a good one. Are the Red Sox on the list?
No.
I don't know.
No.
I mean, you got fans all over the place, all over the world of that team at this point.
Aunt Millie always wants to come and spend a day at Fenway Park.
Yeah, but again, I think that is, you know, I think that's starting to fade. We're talking about now, we're not talking about a good, great, you know, historic franchise. We're talking about the great of the great. To me, there's like 5-6 tops.
Which are?
Again, the Yankees, the Cowboys, the Canadians. I put the Packers and Steelers right there. And I think you also have to give some deference to football on this discussion because football franchises are, you know, they're the most valuable franchises in sports.
How about the Lakers?
They're on my list, too.
I would put them on there.
They're right on the cusp.
Even when they suck, even when they have a downtime, they're still kind of the Lakers, aren't they?
Yeah, there's still that power that goes with the name of the franchise.
As evidenced by the fact that all the best players still want to go play there, no matter how much of a dumpster fire it is.
Mm-hmm.
And their gear and their brand.
Yeah, is your logo and your gear recognized all over the world, not just in North America? And the Lakers, I think, make that cut.
I think the Red Sox are close, man.
I do, too.
Yeah, so listen, but again, I would tell you the Cubs aren't. I would tell you the Cardinals aren't. To me, in baseball, Yankees, Dodgers. That's it.
You've got people coming from all over the world to go to that ballpark, too.
The Cardinals are a club that has stood this test of time.
So they're another one that and also that fan base is like the local fan base is diehard.
It's one of the few places in the country where baseball still is king.
So, and that's a critical element, I think, to this discussion.
The day after, remember being in St. Louis? I noted this. The day after whatever game it was, game three or game four in St. Louis of the Stanley Cup final, they led with Cardinals Cubs. That was the lead to their sports radio show the next day. It's still, that's
huge.
It's one of the few places where it's still baseball.
Yeah, huge. Again, I just put, in baseball, I put the Yankees and Dodgers ahead of everybody else.
Are the Patriots on the list?
I think so.
At the moment?
No, they're definitely.
I
think they're, if they have 10 years of mismanagement.
Oh, they could fade.
As a national brand and a part, no, I don't think. This is why I bring up the Redskins and I think if they mismanage the thing, they go to being what the Redskins are. And hopefully it's not that bad. And, you know, I'm not like saying that you crater, but.
But if they sustain success, and by that I mean just keep your head above water, keep making the playoffs, you know, every few years, because what they've done the last 20 years is ridiculous. But when Belichick or Brady go, it's obviously going to dip. But yeah, I mean, they've done what
they're always going to be there as a national brand and a
I mean, what they've done here now, they've become that. I mean, you have Brady the other day was wearing Patriots Chinese logo T-shirts. I mean, they're
now they are.
Yeah, now they are.
Well, the lesson is the Niners.
So here's the thing. Like, if the Cowboys have five bad years, they can still wear the Chinese marketed T-shirt and still make money doing it. If the Patriots suck for five straight years, can they market worldwide like they do now?
No.
I don't think so.
No, again, and I think that
they have to win. If they keep winning, they will. If they keep on the tradition of excellence that they've established, they will.
See, but I feel the same way about the Red Sox.
But if they don't, see, I think the Red Sox are in a... If you people are still going to take your pants off to a World Series losing team in 1967, I think that sort of proves, that proves my point, that they don't have to win to be that draw and that sort of brand.
Yeah, again, I don't know.
Maybe they survived it through all the losing.
Yeah, but again, that's in the last... You know, they haven't had many losing years in the last 50 years. They haven't had many of those. So the last 50 years overall in Red Sox history has been pretty good.
See, I think the Patriots are new money, and I think they're like the Niners. And if they keep winning, great. Then you establish that. And if you establish that for more than a generation where it's not just us but my kids or my father and me, and like it's two generations of that, then fine. Then you become the Packers or the Cowboys or the Yankees or something like that. But if it's just a single generation, then you're the Niners or the Redskins or the Raiders.
You just reminded me. You want to talk about bad owners? Jed York, what he's done with that team. Holy crap.
But that's where it started. The policy got into trouble. Was it policy or who was the other?
DeBartolo,
and they had all the things, and then the kids take over, and then they get divorced or whatever. I can't remember.
Oh, it was
exactly
a disaster.
But that's where it starts.
Yeah. Again, my list is shorter than yours. Because, again, when you push comes to shove, I think there were like five or six in sports.
Are the Bruins always going to be the Bruins?
No.
No, those early 2000s were bad.
They
those
vanished.
Were dark.
They vanished for a while. They vanished. Now, again, maybe I'm equating on ice, on field success to brand, and maybe that's my problem.
Celtics always the Celtics?
No.
I mean, in their heads, they are.
Yeah.
In
to
their
them,
heads.
They
I'm
are.
Telling you, but you, again, you got to look
nationally,
at
nationally, does anyone care about your 18 banners?
No, you got to look at it from how the country views it. Like, so at the moment, the Patriots are hot. But when it really comes down to it.
So the question is, can your team still be the national brand when you're losing? And right, I think the Yankees, the Canadians, the Packers, I think those teams can withstand that a little bit. And partly is because in Montreal and Green Bay, there's nothing else going on. So that's, but, and they're generational. Right? Your grandfather followed.
The roots go so deep.
So anyway, I don't know why I just think of that.
No, to me, I told you, it's five or six teams and I stopped there.
Okay, long commercial-free segment next and your calls.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task. But after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Boys and girls, I'm here today to present an exciting opportunity for togetherness.
Felger and Mass.
That's awesome.
Of course it is.
That's great.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
My name is Dan Schneider, proud owner of the Washington Redskins football team. In the name of decency, I am asking that you please stop using the name Washington Redskins to refer to your company.
Stop? But why?
You have no right to use our name to get attention.
The trademark got pulled, so I'm totally free to use the name, actually.
Look, don't you see that when you call your organization the Washington Redskins, it's offensive to us?
How is it offensive?
It's derogatory, Mr. Cartman.
It makes us feel like a joke.
Guys, I have total respect for you. When I named my company Washington Redskins, it was out of deep appreciation for your team and your people.
Well, we don't feel very respected.
So that's the Redskins today, man. South Park parodies, mocking the owner, obstinance over the team name, big distracting nonsense over the team name. That's what they are now.
I mean, I'm telling you, I'm not joking about this. If I were the owners in that league, I would very seriously look at every bylaw and mechanism to remove him from the group.
Like the NBA did with Donald Sterling.
Yes. Yes, I think it's been that bad. It's been a freaking train wreck down there with this guy. And there aren't many owners in sports that you would say stoop to the level of being, you know, worthy of dismissal by their peers. So, again, like you mentioned Jerry Jones earlier. So say what you will about Jerry Jones, but the Cowboys as a business make a ton of dough. Ton. The Redskins are losing money.
Well, they used the Redskins up until about 10 years ago. Still 10 years. Their brand, their popularity was so strong that the first 10 years of Snyder's ownership, he was able to capitalize on it. He made tons of money and he charged you for everything, like recycling peanuts and charging for training camp and all the nonsense that he did. But it made him money. But the on-field product has been so bad and so irrelevant that he's lost it. He's lost it. And now,
oh my gosh,
now they're plummeting.
Like, Jerry Jones's problem for me comes in that he thinks he's a GM, you know, and he's an egomaniac, but at, you know,
he's maintained the Cowboys brand.
Absolutely. As much as I sit here and dump on Jerry Jones, and I'm not sure I'd want him as an owner, Daniel Snyder's like on a different level of bad. That is just,
he's like a slumlord.
Really? Yeah, Murray, that's a good analogy, actually. That, you know, yes. Really? No, but that's what it is. I mean, you've taken something that is, you know, like brilliant, right? Something great. And you've let it just rot. You have let it rot. You've ignored it. You just took it for granted and you let it deteriorate and rot. Oh, that's so bad.
Okay, so your thoughts on this. We'll get back to Gostkowski and all of that coming up. David in Cambridge. Hi, Dave.
Hey, guys. How you doing? Listen, man, what a great topic. You know, is it the ownership or is it the players? And there's a couple I'd like you guys to debate. What about the L.A. Dodgers? I mean, they were there in the 70s. They won some in the 80s. They disappeared in the 90s. Here they are again. And then the other side of it is, you know, the Oakland A's. Early 70s, they were right there. Late 80s. Did they have the same ownership throughout that time? Thanks a lot, guys.
Okay, so no.
Forget the A's. How?
They're not a national brand. They're
no,
not.
The Dodgers are on my list.
Definitely Dodgers are.
I just think that name, Dodgers, the uniform, the logo, all of it. And look, you can say, well, they had New York roots. I think that's part of it. There's a fan base scattered all over the place. There's a standard there that the Dodgers have. I think the Dodgers exist. I think that one's real.
Yeah, I do too.
And again, the only baseball ones I put there are the Yankees and the Dodgers.
But
that's
there,
it.
There used to be a couple of others, like the
sure.
The Orioles. We just say the Orioles for 20 years, and maybe they didn't, you know, reach the popularity of the Yankees and Dodgers, but there was an Oriole way, and they, you know, always an excellent club and usually did the right thing, and ownership changed, and I can't remember when it changed or how it changed, but, you know, Angelo just drove the thing into the ground.
Yeah, Angelo's took ownership of the team in the mid-90s, I think it was. Might have been the early 90s, 93, 94, right around that period of time, and then just slowly but surely ran it, you know, just destroyed it.
So,
well, the Dodgers were heading that way 10 years ago, too, with McCourt.
Yeah, so that's true. Yeah, but again, ownership.
Yeah.
Right? So it speaks
to... But if he held on and kept fighting, because Selig in baseball had to step in, right? Because he was basically broke after the divorce proceedings.
Maybe this is the point, that there were certain franchises where if it gets bad enough...
They survive it.
Yes. And not only the fan base won't tolerate it, and the league won't tolerate it.
Well, that's what happened in that case. The league wasn't going to tolerate it, so they stepped in.
But the Dodgers have never ceased to be the Dodgers. Never ceased to be a national brand. The Lakers, through all their ups and downs, have never ceased to be that team. The Redskins, the Orioles, the Raiders have ceased to be what they were, and it's never coming back to what it was unless they have another 20. They have to reset and start all over like anyone else would.
We'll see what this Vegas thing does to the Raiders, though. I think they might get some of that back.
Unless the owner gets a clue or there's a new owner down there, it ain't going to matter.
See,
continue to make bad decisions for the wrong reasons.
But to me, on some level, this speaks to how bad it is with Snyder, and which is why I think they need to jump in. Somebody needs to jump in. It's a disaster what he has done down there.
Kevin in Bellingham, what do you got?
Yeah, the Redskins of the 80s, you guys were talking about their popularity. Do you remember that story where they got together with local law enforcement and sent out the letters that you won free tickets to a Skins game, and they rounded all these people up?
So I don't, but that's just how they...
Oh, you have to look into this. It's a classic. The Redskins were so popular, they sent out a letter to all these people with outstanding warrants. Hey, you won free tickets.
Right.
Come to this hotel.
And then they showed up and arrested them all.
Great one.
Tickets were so in demand that people who were on the run from the law would come to claim them because they wanted to go see the Skins. That's what he's saying.
That is awesome.
And now they can't give tickets away. As Murray said, they've removed seats twice. That's an 80,000-seat stadium, too, that they sold out, banged out when it first opened was just, and now they're removing seats like they're the Jacksonville Jaguars.
I'm telling you, that franchise needs to be taken away from Daniel Snyder. It does. It needs to be taken away.
John in New Bedford, go ahead.
you know, real quick, guys, I'll just make my statement. I'm not sure. Everybody says Daniel Snyder meddled when he tried to sign Bruce Smith and Deion Sanders, and then he tried to get Joe Gibbs back, and now he steps away from football and everybody bags on him. But he's never been caught in a massage parlor getting oral sex, or he's ever fondled any women when he's completely drunk like Jerry Jones. So I'm not sure why. Like, maybe the guy doesn't know football, but you guys are bagging on him like he's a bad person. There are plenty of horrific owners in the NFL that are
bad
people.
Hold on, hold on. Getting a massage doesn't make you a horrible person. Now, hiring Jeffrey Epstein's lawyer and calling the cops a bunch of liars, I'm not into that. But the act of going to a massage parlor doesn't make anyone a bad person. A trade off a massage parlor trip for someone who's a good owner and does the right thing by the team. Don't you think Redskins fans would trade that in a heartbeat?
Yes.
Are you kidding me?
Totally.
Give me a break with that crap.
And look, I said it from day one. I mean, I'm not passing moral judgment on the trip to the, you know.
No, it was the second thing that I said that I have a problem with. Hiring Epstein's lawyer and calling cops liars. I'm not into that.
And again, to the caller, so for a paid transaction versus what Snyder did to the cheerleaders and essentially trying to pimp them out to.
Thank you.
Well, not rich boosters, but some of your richest, you know, club seat owners on a trip. Like, that's ridiculous. Man, it's criminal, is what that is.
Snyder's way worse. No, it's not even
debatable.
It is. It's not even worth
it's not even
engaging
worth
on.
Bringing up the, but it just shows you, the NFL isn't quite idiot proof. I mean, the Redskins are still worth billions of dollars. They still make great money, but relatively speaking, on NFL by an NFL standard, they've driven the business into the ground. Okay, by NFL standard, they still make money and they're still worth a lot, but. Given the kind of money you can make and the kind of business you can have, if you are just a viable, average decision maker, they've driven the thing into the ground.
I mean, you know, as I was just looking at it here, think of that 1 year where they had Robert
yep.
Griffin III.
Yep.
There was a buzz around that.
There sure was. Yeah. It came back.
Like that was only 2012. That was only 7 years ago.
Might as well be 25.
Yep. Seriously,
so
though, doesn't it feel
ago.
That way?
That was the last gasp of the Redskins.
Oh, my gosh, it feels that way. And I think that I don't think they're ever going to get a clue there until they get rid of Snyder.
Okay, so we can.
I like Griffin better.
I think so. We can continue with this conversation. We will reset the breaking news today down in Foxborough, and it is significant. If you haven't heard, here it is. The breaking news with the Patriots and the update. No commercials. We come back and discuss.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.